Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 299 co-main event, a lightweight fight between the veteran, the legend that is Dustin Poirier. And we should all be thankful that we're getting to witness Dustin Poirier at this stage in his career. I mean, you know, there are a few fighters that are at the top for this amount of time and have had this many of many fights. Was it 29-8 is his record? Quite impressive. And he's taking on Benoit Saint-Denis, the god of war, who, of course, is a very exciting and very dangerous fighter. 13-1, and that one loss was a split decision bloodbath. Interesting fight, this one. You know, it very much seems like there's a big opportunity of court. Well, I mean, it doesn't seem. There is a big opportunity on the table for Benoit Saint-Denis here. He's ranked, what is it, number 12, did I say, Jamie? He's ranked number 12, and he's up against Dustin Poirier, who's ranked number 3. Like, a win over him is like, I mean, that is like the best result in snakes and ladders ever. Like, you get right up to the top of the tree within, you know, with one fight. And straight away, you become one of the people to beat in the division because you've added Dustin Poirier's name to your record. Poirier, on the other hand, this is a weird one for him. If I'm Poirier's management and if I've got any kind of say over this, I'm kind of pushing back on a fight like this. Like, Benoit Saint-Denis is an animal. He's on an absolute rampage. Every single one of his other fights is a win, and it was him stopping someone, stomping someone, squeezing their face until they quit. He's an absolute beast. And of course, we're very, very excited to watch him progress. These are the kind of fights where I'm like, do we really get to watch this guy that we're all really excited about kick the hell out of a legend that we've been enjoying for so long? Like, is Dustin Poirier going to be able to overcome the ferocity of Benoit Saint-Denis? Because, like, Poirier is like, you know, it might be different somewhere else in the US. I know Jamie's going to get this reference, but it's like watching Masters football, you know what I mean? Like, it's like watching, like, legends of the Premiership come together for a friendly five-a-side. Like, it takes them a bit of time to get warm, you know what I mean? Like, Poirier, he does his warm-up in the back, of course, but, you know, like a new pair of slippers, he likes to feel the octagon a little bit and get loose and warm into it. And there's just not going to be any time to do that here. Like, Benoit Saint-Denis is a caged animal. And, like, as soon as there's an opportunity to start flinging hard body kicks at people, he's all over it. On the other side, if we're thinking, all right, Dustin Poirier, this is the veteran, this is the guy that has been able to topple McGregor 2 times out of 3. He's decimated some really, really tough opponents over, you know, the space of 4 or 5 rounds. And the experience that he's got, of course, you've got to think Dustin Poirier is going to be too much for Benoit Saint-Denis. But then there's always been holes in Poirier's defense, right? He's got a very unique style of fighting, and I really enjoy studying Poirier, much like I do other fighters that don't necessarily do things in the traditional way, right? Like Poirier's a good southpaw, but he's got a very long stance for an MMA fighter. And even though he's got a long stance, he doesn't necessarily always suffer from low kicks. Like, some people have landed good low kicks on him, of course, but, like, the way that he stands, you would think he would be more vulnerable to low kicks, but he's able to get to people with those long arms. He's able to discourage people. And he's also able to crowd people in a square stance and dips his head underneath his arms and his shoulders to get out the way of punches, which is something that a boxing coach is never going to recommend you do. You know, like, you'd see Ramon Dekker sometimes step in with, like, the cross guard, but that was only when he was feeling very confident that his opponent was very much on the back foot. But the thing with Dustin Poirier is he's got that ability to read the situation in the moment. And because he's been crafting this game that he uses for so long now, it's like he knows where the vulnerabilities are. So he allows his opponents to think he's available there when he's not. Like, people swing shots at Dustin Poirier because they think they're going to hit him, and they either roll off his shoulders or they just whistle past his head. He's got a very educated defense, which you can tell has been built from years of being on the mats with some very, very high level guys. Now, the other interesting thing for me in this fight is that we've got two southpaws facing one another. Now, Dustin Poirier has not fought many southpaws in his career, but if you remember, of course, the McGregor fights, the calf kick was very, very telling in both of those fights. And it's going to be far more easy to hit southpaw v southpaw, orthodox v orthodox, than it would be if they were open stances. Now, Poirier is very good at kind of circling and stinging the outside leg, but it doesn't generate the same kind of force as a good step-in hard calf kick. So that's going to be something that both of these guys can definitely exploit. The other thing with the stance as well, Benoit Saint-Denis, he's a southpaw that looks like he's left-footed, and he loves that body kick against orthodox fighters. That, to an extent, is going to be nullified here, but he might be able to change that either to the calf or the low kick. So the ferocity with which Benoit Saint-Denis throws those kicks, he can still do. He just might have to adjust the target, because the near side body is not the easiest target to hit with that. He would be better changing that kick to a front kick, a rear front kick, than he's targeting the liver. But that's a different type of technique. The thing that Benoit has to be cautious of when he's throwing kicks is that long lead jab of Poirier. Because he blades his body quite a lot, he twists and he throws that jab over people's kicks. He could even just knock Benoit Saint-Denis off balance. If he knocks him off balance and creates a scramble, Poirier's got good neck attacks. You know, we've not seen many submissions in his recent career, aside from obviously the Chandler fight. But if you think back to his early career, his featherweight career, he was a Bravo Anaconda Das type of attacker. And if at any point, just let's play a scenario out. This is kind of sometimes, I know that I saw a comment the other day that was like, how do you watch these fights when you're breaking them down? Like, do you watch both the fighters, or do you watch one fighter and then you watch the other? Or, you know, and it's different depending on one fight to the next. If I'm watching, this is a little tangent for you. If I'm watching one fight and the fight's just happened and I'm watching it for the first time, I'm just watching the fight and enjoying it as a fan. That's why I don't tend to score a fight. Even if I know it goes the distance, I'm trying to feel the games that are being played on either side. And if someone's trying to set a trap or trying to figure out how they're adjusting their game plan in the moment. If I'm studying two fighters that are potentially going to fight or that are fighting, like in this case with Poirier and Saint-Denis, I'll watch one person's career for most of it, and I'll watch the other person's career, and usually I do the majority of the fights, and then I'll play out the scenario. So I might go back and watch Dustin Poirier against Conor McGregor and switch McGregor out for Benoit Saint-Denis and see, like, think about Denis' style and what could potentially be applied differently in those scenarios. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if we see more grappling, more level changes from Benoit, but we also know Dustin Poirier's got good neck attacks, and he's also got a good takedown offense. So does that nullify the option for Benoit Saint-Denis? Does he decide he's not going to waste the energy with that and just think, I don't know, I'm just going to throw 50 more smashing low kicks instead? Like, these are the scenarios that I kind of play out, and you know, there are lots of different ways that this fight can go. I feel like an aggressive, fast start from Benoit Saint-Denis is a clear victory for him. This is over five rounds, and that does change things a lot in Dustin Poirier's favor, because, of course, he's comfortable with the 25-minute fights, and he knows how to pace himself. And something we don't know about Benoit Saint-Denis is how he paces himself. He's only had one fight that's gone 15 minutes, and over 25 minutes is a different thing again. Especially when you're a fighter like Benoit Saint-Denis, who is very aggressive and very explosive and doesn't necessarily measure themselves as they're attacking. Like, if you go back to his early Brave fights, before he joined the UFC, there were a couple of fights one in particular where he started ferociously. He was in on a double leg within 5 seconds of the round starting. Like, something like that might be a good idea, because it might catch Poirier cold and get him on the floor. But you know for sure the experience of Dustin Poirier, he's going to be able to slow that round down and defend his neck and kind of potentially stifle that excitement in that first round that Benoit Saint-Denis got. And then, you know, 5 minutes has passed and Benoit Saint-Denis gets up and He's landed loads of punches and he's won the first round big because he dominated from top position and he landed 60 punches and his forearms are burnt out and his shoulders are burning. And now Dustin Poirier goes back and he's like, right, okay, that's the first 5 minutes done. Here we go, 20 minutes to go. Let me take you into deep water. And that is where Dustin Poirier thrives. You know, he's got a variety of different ways to finish people and he's got a very high finishing capacity. But he's not smashing people out of there in the first round. You know, there are a lot of fights where he'll weather an early storm. He'll come through some rough spots in the fight and then he turns it on his opponent because he's got that durability and that staying power. And at this point in his career, the wisdom, the veteran experience. Okay, 29 wins. I didn't do Tale of the Tape yet, have I? No. Okay. So, Tale of the Tape. So, we've got 5'9" for Dustin Poirier, 5'11" for Benoit St. Denis. So, slightly taller by 2 inches, 1 inch reach advantage as well for St. Denis. Dustin Poirier, massive record compared. 29 wins, 8 losses, 14 wins by knockout, 8 by submission, 1 Rinicky choke, 3 arm bars, 2 Bravos, a body triangle, and an arm, triangle arm bar. That was Max Holloway, wasn't it? Mounted. Beautiful. On the other side, you've got Benoit Saint-Denis, 13 wins with 1 loss, 4 by knockout, 9 by submission, 3 Rinicky chokes, 2 guillotines, 2 arm triangles, a knee bar and an arm bar. Good variety on the ground for Benoit Saint-Denis, but I do feel like it would be better to invest in softening my opponent up before I start to try and wrestle Dustin Poirier to the ground. Let me have a quick look at takedown defense, actually. So 63% takedown defense for Dustin Poirier, which is, of course, not fantastic. But then if you look at the people that he's fought, of course, he's been through the ringer. And that 63% takedown defense is probably one of the most tried and tested of takedown defense statistics in all of mixed martial arts. You know, Poirier is a wise individual. And with excitement and, you know, the opportunity to get a win over Dustin Poirier, his first round game plan might be just to slow Benoit Saint-Denis down. I do think we're going to see some grappling exchanges in this fight. Dustin Poirier does tend to give his back, even if he doesn't lose the fight by rear naked choke. Chandler was on his back for a second. Of course, Khabib and Oliveira took his back as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Benoit Saint-Denis take Poirier's back, but that most likely will be because he's taken him down for a second and there's a scramble and he's been able to clamp on and climb up Dustin Poirier for a moment. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get the finish, but I do feel like there'll be kind of moments where Poirier seems a little bit exposed to the submission. But ultimately, I do feel like his wisdom's going to get him through those spots. I feel like this fight is going to be settled on the feet in deep water. I feel like it's going to be the person that does the best damage to the lead leg the most, given the fact that they've both got equal opportunities to throw that calf kick. I also feel like the person who can get their head off the center line when they're kicking is going to be a key, because they can both leave their head on the center line and get countered, and they both have a tendency to do it. Dustin Poirier is very good at bullying people over when they're firing kicks, and I do feel like that could be something that he could use to discourage Benoit Saint-Denis throwing that kick. What else haven't I mentioned? Yeah, I wrote it down here. Like, so Poirier is the most vulnerable when he's flurrying. But that's usually when he does his best work, because he's in the pocket in the moment, rolling and weaving and picking his shots and reading where his opponent's head is or is going to be. The way that he adjusted that that little right hook that he used to knock McGregor down in their second fight was just perfectly timed. He saw McGregor's head was moving down and he dropped the level of it to make sure that it caught him. And the one other thing I'll say, I think, you know, Dustin Poirier's got a really good Philly shell style, but I don't necessarily think it works as well for him against orthodox fighters. So I feel like Dustin Poirier's defense might be better in this fight as well. The only danger, of course, are the power kicks, but even that's to an extent nullified with closed stance. In mixed martial arts, because you even if you slip in here, you slip in where the lead leg's going to come, as opposed to if I'm in an open stance, I'd slip to where the rear leg is, and that's risky. Anyway, enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.